great head judge, Tana Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. At this time, I would like to introduce our head judge, Fania, for opening remarks and introductions. So please welcome her. Please be seated. Shabbat Shalom on this great Sabbath day. We have a very special presentation for you today, Sabbath. Now, I want you to pay close attention. We have our young teachers who are going to be teaching first to us. And I want you to compare what they are teaching with what the world is teaching its young people. Give our young people in Yahweh's house the opportunity to grow. Give them that ability to want to do Yahweh's way. Encourage them. As best as we can, we need to do it because we know that the world is going down. And that's what the young people in the world are taught. They are going down. They don't know it. So I want us to, at this time, I want you to be the judge of the situation. I will show us some clips on what the young people in the world are taught. And then, when the floor is open to our young people, you will see what our great house of Yahweh teaches our young people. With this time, could I please have clip, the first clip? Thank you. Oh, yes. The very first time I saw this clip, I could not identify with what was going on there. And I remember a very long time ago, the great overseer said, the greatest teacher in the world, Yisrael Hawkins, he said, do you realize that from a very young age, the young children are taught to kill? Because you have the coloring books, and they learn to color all the soldiers and the tanks, and the subliminal message is there for them, and they don't know it. So look at the ages of the young children there. Do you see the ages? What ages are those there? And look at the agony on the face of the child that the gun is pointed at. See the pleasure in the face of the one who's pointing the gun. What are we teaching? What is the world teaching its young people? May I have the second clip, please? Oh, confusion. Truly. Do you think there would be a clear-thinking mother who gives birth to a child? And let's say it's a boy. And he's confused. Mother, am I male or female? Do you think the mother would want him to stay in that form of being so confused? No. Now, here's what. We know the greatest teacher in the world. He told us, these were not girls. These are boys. No, in the great house of Yahweh, we do not want our boys like that. Okay, may I have the third clip, please?
Came totally immersed in online games and lost all track of the time he spent on the internet.
Отключить, пожалуйста.
Нет,
это для тебя.
Я сказала, замолчи, дура! Замолчи, дура!
Выключаем.
Чтоб ты сдохла! Чтоб ты сдохла!
Выключай.
Is that the world's leaders of tomorrow? But that's what he's been taught. Who gave him the computer and the fancy keyboard and the programs to go with it? Where did he get get it from? Is that what we want taught to our children in the great house of Yahweh? Absolutely not. So parents, please encourage. And by the way, with the gun, they showed this on the news. There was this man who was selling guns, and he said, we'll have those pink guns. Since the girls want to shoot too, we'll have those pink guns for the girls. Did you see that, anybody? Do we want our girls in the great house to have pink guns? No colored guns, okay? No guns at all. And with this, please be the judge of the situation, what is taught to the children in the world, and what is taught to great fathers' children. And at this time, I will turn it over to our first speaker, Great Deaconess Alma.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Now, I know you're probably a little sad already seeing us back again, knowing you're not going to see Pastor today, but I promise that there's a great surprise in store for you, okay? So again, I just want to start by encouraging you to take more notes and to go back and study them and compare them with the other notes that you've been taking over the past month. Now, a lot has been brought out recently on the man in the moon, you know, Pastor's face on the bakery wall, the numbers, the 19, the 3, the 7613, and others. So it's important to go back and get the sermons and keep re-listening to them or taking notes on what we missed, because Pastor said that's how we get it to stick in our brains, is by to keep rehearsing and rehearsing. Now, today we're going to be talking about more of the signs that's been given to us. So I'm going to talk a little bit about our signs versus the signs in the world. Now, one of the big and much talked about signs in the world is the Fatima prophecy, or they call it the three secrets of Fatima. Now, I didn't know much about this, so I had to go on Google. And so for those of you that don't know much about it either, this is a little about it. It said, the three secrets of Fatima consist of a series of apocalyptic visions and prophecies which some believe were given by an apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary to three young children. The three children claim that they were visited six times between May and October in 1917. According to the official Catholic interpretation, the three secrets involve hell, World War I, World War II, and the attempted assassination by a gunshot to Pope John Paul II. On July 13th, around noon, the Virgin Mary is said to have entrusted the children with the three secrets. And it goes on more describing it, but that's, you know, it in a nutshell. Now, this so-called great prophecy, you know, is by words of mouth of the three children. They have no proof to back that up. One thing that caught my attention right away was the six times that the children said they were visited by that Mary thing. Because we know the devil's number is 666, right? Right. So, well, six times they were visited. That's 1-6. Then they said the six visits occurred between May and October. That's May, June, July, August, September, October. There we have our second six. Now, I wasn't even planning to mention this, but it just kept grabbing my attention. So I thought, well, I don't know what the third six could be. And then I thought, three children, three secrets. So that makes our third six. And there we have the 666. So I guess it's your sign, the world, of course not ours, that it's directly from the devil and somehow involves the Catholic Church, which is the devil's home on earth, visible home on earth. Now, I'm not saying the devil or Mary, they call it, you know, to make it sound prettier and holier, didn't appear to them, because remember, Pastor said that he's not saying that she doesn't make appearances. But there's a difference between theirs and ours. Ours, the house of Yahweh, it has meaning. You research the numbers, you research the pictures, anything that you can find with it, and it reveals something to us. It'll show us something. And even we now know that sometimes it even tells us a story. The world goes off of hearsay. They don't study it. The only story, they try to find any story they can, fancy it up to tell the people. And then they go to tell the people and tell them, just believe and you'll be saved, and the people just believe that. They don't even know what they're supposed to be believing, but they just keep going. But we have scriptural proof, you know, the thing that Mr. Pope changed. He changed the original scripts, he changed the name, and he had even many murdered a while back if they owned one. But you know what? It says Yisrael Hawkins is not scared. I'm not scared, and neither is the House Yahweh scared. We're told in Luke 21, verse 28, when these things begin to come to pass, look up, lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. And in verse 25, it said, there will be signs in the sun and in the moon, which we are seeing now. Now, you all heard about the Jesus Christ statue in Rio de Janeiro? Okay, it sits on a mountain, they said, overlooking Rio. Well, she got hit by lightning. Or not she, he, sorry. Or who knows what it is, because I was thinking it could be a she, or it could be a him, or a shim, you know, a she and a him. Because they make Jesus Christ with long hair. The leader of their world has a girl's name, Francis. So who knows? It's probably something like that. Or when they went to build it, I say, some probably wanted to make it a girl, some probably wanted to make it a guy. And so the Pope said, you know, just do whatever you think is right. What he did today, and we just seen a picture. You know, if you feel like a boy, use the boy's bathroom. If you feel like a girl, then use the girl's bathroom. It's confusion. So, who knows? What I do know is, how many of you know not too long ago the Vatican got struck by lightning? Y'all remember that? Yes? Okay, well that was once, right? Now the Christ statue in Rio, that's two. And you know what they say about three, right? And three is also a completion. So that's a sign to you, Mr. Pope, that you're coming down and the House of Yahweh is being lifted up. Now, I have a few pictures to show you of some more of the things that's coming down. Now, you see this? The schools of higher learning, we'll have no more of those. Holidays, we have Christmas, Easter, Halloween, all of that, no more. Unjust judges, nope. And when the unjust judges are gone, and the district's attorneys with their shameful deals are no more, then we will have no need for prisons. And when that, our people will come. And the master behind it all, Mr. Pope, gone. I'll double rip him. Okay? So we have no more Mr. Pope either. Now, I promised you in the beginning I had a surprise for you, right? And we all miss Pastor, don't we? We do. So can I have disc number one inserted, please?
Should I address it to Mr. Pope?
Sure. Go ahead.
Mr. Pope, this is your final warning. In these last days, there are two works taking place. It's up to you to choose which one you want to take. Two separate teachers. Our messages are not the same. I speak the truth while the other seeks fortune and fame. My name is Yisrael. I call him Mr. Pope. I give words of life while he creates false hope. Yahweh is my shepherd. He cares for all his sheep. Unlike your so-called gods, whom you said is fast asleep. It's only a short time before the whole world will know that Yahweh has sent me to you, and to his house they'll start to flow. You who sit on seven hills will soon become a plain, while your leader, who is Satan, will be bound with chain. You could end this mess right now, turn it all around, but scripture show you won't repent, nor will you back down. So for this very reason, it is up to me. I am warning you now, let Yahweh's people go free. If you continue to ignore the warning in these last days, I can promise you that the plagues will be a lot worse than Moshe's. One more thing before I go that I would like to say, you're going down. And at the top will soon sit the great house of Yahweh. This is yahwehsbranch.com. May Yahweh bless your understanding.
Was that a nice surprise? Ajay. And with that, that's all the time that I have, and I would like to turn it over to our next teacher.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. I'd like to greet you like our pastor does. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. So we heard the first speaker, and that was an awesome message that we had, and a surprise from Pastor. And remember last time the women's side spoke, we mentioned the number 19, correct? Well, I'm going to just say something really quick. If you go, remember the answers are in the books. Everything that, you know, we're taught, you can go back to the book of Yisrael and you find it right there. So guess what? One morning, I got a book of Yisrael, and I just opened it and read, and it took some searching, but on chapter 21 of the 7th book of Yisrael, part 1, what caught my eye at the bottom of the page, it says 19 in bold letters. So let me tell you what I found. And you can find it too. On page 203, I'm going to start, Pastor says that this, he's reading from Bullinger, numbering scripture by Bullinger. The number 19 is a combination of the number 9 and 10. And after he explains what 9 and 10 is, he said, "So with this information, it's the end of man's works and way, for he will be judged by Yahweh. Those who reverence Yahweh will be protected. Hence, Yahweh's kingdom, which is perfect in every way, will now come, and it will be forever." That's 19. The emblem of what is the source of all physical existence? And he said, I better not go into this because it has so much meaning. The symbol of all manifested power and eternity, which is, of course, Yahweh. The sign of resistance and protection. The symbol, a representation of the shelter of man and shield. This is all in that meaning. The symbol of the manifested power and eternity, which is, of course, Yahweh. And that's our pastor speaking. I'll read you more of that later in detail, but I got to get on with this other information and other project we have here, and so do I. So, I just wanted to remind you about that number 19, and the answers are in the books, always. So, you can go back and read that for yourself. So, in speaking about the man on the moon and different signs that Yahshua has put in the clouds, I have a question for you that you can think about. What has Yahweh showed his house in the past, history of the house of Yahweh events, with the moon? If you can think about that for a minute. You know, last time the women's side spoke, one of the adult speakers talked about when Pastor was born, there was that gibbous moon, remember? And remember what she said about that. And one very significant event in the house of Yahweh, if you want to go back and in time, is when Pastor was arrested. And I know we all remember that, correct? And especially if we were here during that time, we know that all the dates, they match and they have meaning. But the day he was released is very interesting. That was on February the 20th, and there was a lunar eclipse that night. Who remembers that? Do you remember that? Okay. Well, can I please have picture number 1? That's the full moon before it started to eclipse that night. And can I please have number 2? Okay. Do you see the diagram there of how it shows the different times? 7:43 is the first time. Well, I think that's Eastern. I'm going to read you the one we go by, the Central Time. 7:43 was the first number. 9:01, this is all an hour later. 9:26, 951 and 1109. Do you see those numbers on there? When the partial eclipse begins, the total eclipse, the mid-eclipse, the total end, and the partial end. Do you see that? Okay, so I'm going to read you some of the definitions of some of those numbers, because some of them have some significant meaning of this eclipse. 901 comes from 898, and it means treacherous. And think of this time and think of the eclipse. It means treacherous. The middle eclipse, 926, means to tremble inwardly, alarmed or agitated, afraid, vexed, amazed, dismayed, and speedily. Whenever I read these definitions, it reminded me of, especially when it said afraid. Remember when they interviewed Pastor and he said that one of those men were really afraid of him because he was bold and he couldn't stand up to what he was saying? 951 means a cattle, tender, herdsman. And we know that Yahweh is our shepherd, correct? And so is Pastor. And it comes from, well, let's go to 1109, which I think on there it says 1209. It means, it's from 1077, which is from 1068. And it means failure. This is the part that really caught my attention. It means failure, nothing, not at all, no more and neither. And this reminds me of whenever Pastor was, they went back and they said, no more charges. You remember that? Nothing. Failure. Remember the pictures we had right here last week where, and one of the speakers said, Babylon has failed. Now, it means, now, 5971, if you want to write this down, is kind of special. It means people as a congregated unit, like us. It mentions of the 12 tribes and nation. From 604, it means to associate, to overshadow, to hide. And we know that in these last days, we have the shadow of protection, and we have the shadow of death, correct? And this first speaker showed a great comparison of that. So if we go back to the 2008 calendar, do I remember this? You go to the second Roman month, we see that that day, the 20th, was a full moon. It was also in 1981 on that day that the first newsletter published called World News and Bible Prophecy Messenger were published. Now, if you please turn over to Yashub 31:36, could I please have picture number 3? Do you all remember this cloud that was seen? Praise Yahweh. And if you remember that picture is actually Pastor with his hands lifted up, and it was taken from the picture that they like to advertise on the news with when he was in the courtroom. Does everyone remember that? And you can see the letters there, YAHW, that was spelling Yahweh. And if I could keep that there for a minute. Yashub 31:36. And it reads, I would wear it on my shoulder, I would put it on like a crown. You remember when Pastor read those words? And now turn to Yashub 23, verse 10. Is everyone there? So, if I have a picture to show you here. Can everyone see that? Yashub 23, verse 10. But he knows the way that I take, and when he has finished trying me, I will come forth as gold. So, we know the definitions, like the first speaker said, of the times, the dates, the meanings of these words. when Yahweh shows us these things, these are true miracles, not the false miracles and the false signs that the world seeks after. These were prophesied from our Savior, and Pastor always comes back and backs that up. And also, we know that we can fully believe these things. And one thing that came to my mind was, we know the scripture that says the moon is the faithful witness in the sky, correct? Well, there's another scripture that says the faithful witness will not lie. That kind of rhymes. And we know that we have the moon, and we have Pastor. And please pay attention to the next speakers, because I have more information. And with this, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker. Shalom, you may all be seated. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about the moon. Sometimes we may think the moon is just an object in the sky, but it actually helps us to keep Yahweh's laws. Have you ever thought about that? Take some thinking. If you turn over to Deuteronomy 32:47, it says, "These are not just idle words for you. These laws mean life to you." And Positive Law 153 says, "The new moons are to be observed to set Yahweh's feast." And for your notes, Exodus 12:2 and Deuteronomy 16:1. And you can go ahead and turn over, please, to Psalms 8:3. "When we consider your heavens, the work your fingers frame, the work of the moon and of the stars which were by you ordained." Yahweh created the moon. It wasn't just by the Big Bang or anything. Yahweh put it there, so we know when to keep his feast. And in Psalms 8:3, it talks about the work of the moon. So I looked in the Merriam-Webster's dictionary, looked up the word work. "A specific task, duty, function, or assignment, often being part or phase of some larger activity." So the moon's not there just to give light. It's there to tell us when to keep Yahweh's feast. And I have some facts on the moon that I would like to share with you. The moon is the Earth's natural satellite. There's satellites that shines by the sun's reflected light. Does that get you thinking? Sun's reflected light. We'll come back to that. It revolves about the Earth from west to east in about 29.5 days with reference to the sun. It has a diameter of 2,159 miles and a mean distance of the Earth of about 238,900 miles. And one complete moon cycle consists of four phases. We'll hear about that later. And some benefits of the moon is, if you know anything about gardening, you plant your above crops at a different time from the below crops. And also, different crops you plant at different times, so they put nutrients back in the soil, because some of them take it out. And also, if you know anything about herbs or make tinctures, which I like, you make it on one new moon, and you shake it every day, and then set it in the sun, and by the next new moon, your tincture is ready to be used. And also, last week we heard about the tidal waves, and how the moon actually works with the wind to make the waves. And the most important thing about the moon is it tells us when to keep the feast. In Psalms 104, verse 19, it says, "You appointed the moon for setting the feast. The sun knows it's going down." Yahweh created the moon for setting the feast. We look for the new moon every month. Yahweh created the moon. Without the moon, we cannot keep the feast. Ever thought about that? You have to have the moon in order to keep the feast, because we look for the new moon to set the feast. Without the moon, how would we prove that we belong to Yahweh? We couldn't. The moon reflects the light from the sun. We reflect the light from our teacher, Yisro Hawkins, and from his teachings. We learn from Yisro Hawkins, then we teach what we've learned to others. Without Yisro Hawkins, how would we know how to keep the feast? We wouldn't, right? If you know teacher, wouldn't know. And without the moon, how would we know when to keep the feast?
We wouldn't. We need both, Yidro Hawkins and the moon, in order to be able to keep the feast Yahweh's way. We come to the feast to learn Yahweh's laws, taught by Yidro Hawkins. And then we practice what we've been taught and teach it to others. We teach them how to keep the feast and how to use the moon. And when we practice what we're taught by Yidro Hawkins and we come to sit at the feet of the teachers, we will have the mark of Yahweh. Remember, without Yidro Hawkins and without the moon, we would not know when to keep the feast and we would not know how to keep the feast. You all please stand. It's my pleasure to introduce the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. So, you all know that there have been many, many signs that's been seen over the past few years, starting with our first donkey in the cloud sign that was seen by our overseer. But today I'm going to be talking a little bit about a sign that was seen a little while ago on March 31st, 2013. The fifth day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, if you all recall, a golden sign appeared over the House of Yahweh grounds. The gold cloud was described as amazingly bright, in spite of the fact that the sun was nowhere near the southern sky, where the cloud has been seen by many. Now pay attention. Witnesses explained that moment it appeared to be the only cloud in the sky and was described as glowing. It was a crown being placed on Pastor Yidro Hawkins' head by our High Priest Yahshua Messiah. That is amazing. Within a few seconds later, letters began to take form, which spelled the word Ruby. Now my first slide. Now if you can see there, up at the top, and it's really clear. You really don't need it to be shown. I mean, you could see it without it, but R-U-B-Y, Ruby. Thank you. There were many other things seen in those clouds, but today I want to focus mainly on the word that we see there, Ruby. The word Ruby that appeared above the gold cloud referred to the first stone on the high priest's breastplate, and it signifies submission to Yahweh and those over you. Law verse 2, submit to Yahweh. Exodus 28, verse 17. The mount four rows of precious stones on it. The first row shall be a ruby, topaz, and a beryl. Now, you can go back over that and read the rest of the breastplate. And everyone turn to Exodus 19, 5 through 6. Now therefore, if you will truly obey my voice by keeping my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the laws that you shall speak to the children of Israel. So Yahweh gave us a law that we should obey and submit to those over us and to all the laws that he's given us. The 12 stones in the high priest's breastplate represent the 12 righteous qualities Yahweh wants his people to develop within ourselves and then pass on to our children and to their children. I wanted to know how much a ruby costs today, so I Googled it. A ruby that is the size of this rock. You can't see it very well, but can I have my second slide? Really, really small. It's the size of a pea. Everyone eats their peas, right? So you should know how big that is. That's how small it is. But this small rock costs about $700 to $3,000. This small thing. And what the world sees as a perfect ruby can cost thousands, even millions of dollars, depending on the size. That's a lot of money. So, I was thinking when I heard this, ruby. What is far above rubies? Does anyone think of anything when you hear that? Yes, exactly. The virtuous woman. Yahweh does not leave us guessing as to how to be that perfect ruby or that virtuous woman, does he? No. Proverbs 31:10-31 paints a perfect picture. And everyone turn there. I'm just going to read the verse 10 for now, but you can go back and read it later. It's a really great scripture to read. Who can find a virtuous wife? Her price is far above rubies. Proverbs 31, verse 10 through 31, gives us the qualities of a virtuous wife. Her qualities include trustworthy, resourceful, generous, helpful, and caring to those around her. She has great business skills, and she is a diligent wife and has reverence for her head and for Yahweh. Let's look at all her actions. If you can go back and read later, but you will find these are some of the actions which are characterized by words in these verses, like rewards, searches, makes, gives, plants, strengthens, spreads out, is not afraid, sells, gives, and excels. And we should all look and try to be like this virtuous woman. She is my role model and who I want to be, who we should all want to be like, and we can be like her if we focus and submit and follow every one of Yahweh's laws that he gives us. Yahweh gives us a perfect manual here. And all of the prophetic words in every book that Yahweh has ever given us through our pastor is the perfect manual and guideline for who we should be. He gave us the perfect example in our high priest, Yeshua Messiah. And he's showing us that he's there helping us through pastor, through all of these signs that we've seen. And that he and Yahweh are very pleased with the work that we are doing. There were many other things seen in the clouds, such as 777. I don't have much time to get into it, but if you go back and look up 777, we know that it meant the gold. And we had the Feast of Passover 2013. That was the theme for gold, from the gold flakes falling in Pastor's vision. I looked up the number 7 in the Strong's. Word number 7651 in Strong's Hebrew Dictionary is the word Sheba from 7650, meaning to be complete, to oneself, swear, as if repeating a declaration 7 times. It was also brought out in a sermon that Yahweh has declared his message in 7 different time periods, which is shown by the 7 lampstand, the menorah, which we see up there. Also, for your notes, Revelation 16, verse 17, talks about it is done, how the work is complete. Sisters, let us all work together in unity to become that virtuous wife and become complete in perfection that Yahweh has given us through the golden ruler and Yeshua Messiah. Thank you for your time. We'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You can be seated. Okay, so last week, if you remember, one of the speakers was talking about 1219, one of the days that Pastor's face was seen on the moon, and one of the definitions meant to gather grapes. Now, we see this with their, in comparison with gathering Yahweh's people. We know that there's going to be a huge amount of people that are going to come to his house. Like it says in Isaiah 2:2, that the house of Yahweh will be established and raised above all congregations, and all nations will eventually flow to it. And we know this is going to be the greatest amount of people brought out of the world. As Pastor said, you won't hear about back in the days of Moshe where they brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, but how Yahweh called 2 billion people to his house in the last days. And we see them coming now, and now Pastor is preparing us to become teachers so that we can help in teaching the people. And in the same way that Pastor planted the seed with us through the work that he has been doing through all these years, we're now helping plant the seed in the world through our actions in our personal lives, our workplaces, our business, with the Peace Solution Character Education Program, but of course under the direction of Yisro Hawkins. He is bringing us all into all. He is bringing us together, and we, when we first came to the house, we learned about how to properly keep the Sabbath, the feast, and the learning about the two witnesses, and that was our foundation. And also making sure that our foundation stays strong and that we don't lose it. Like, and if you turn to Matthew 13:3-9, it says, "Then he spoke to them, in saying, 'Behold, a sower went out to sow,' and he said, 'And as he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and completely devoured them. Some fell upon stony places where they did not have much earth, and at once they sprang up, because there was no depth to the soil. But when the sun rose up, they scorched and became, because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. But others' seeds fell into rich ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, 60-fold, then some 30-fold. He who has an ear, let him hear." So we see with, if we don't have, like in the scripture, if we don't have that strong foundation, that we won't stay strong into his house. Now back to with the grapes, gathering the grapes. They said with some of the grapes that when you prune them, it's best to trim the center so that the grapes can have the sunlight to so they can get the, they can need to be ripened. And in regards to pastor pruning or fine-tuning us, if you turn to 1 Kefa 1:6-7, it says, "In this greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you must suffer grief through temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, which perishes though it's tried with fire, might be found a praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Yeshua Messiah." And we see now that we're coming on another Feast of Passover, the Feast of Gold. It's to remind us that we're being purified as that gold. And we see with Pastor the teachings, and he's wanting everyone to have this opportunity so that when we go through these tests, we're showing and proving how strong we are. In Jacob 1:2-4, it says, My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations, knowing that the testing of your faith develops endurance, and let endurance have its perfect work, that you may become perfect, complete, lacking nothing." So we're going through these tests and these trials so that we can be as gold. And now we're seeing the signs, we're seeing the prophecies that are being fulfilled, and it's showing us now that we're in the end times. So, and now we're seeing the fruits of our labor with the people that we're teaching, and we see that the house of Yahweh is growing strong and our knowledge is growing stronger. And we're all becoming in unity into righteousness. And I say righteous because we see the world is all in unity and unrighteousness. They're all coming together for war. But we want to make sure we come into unity and righteousness. And in Psalms 133, verse 1, it says, "Behold how right and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity, to be one with Yahweh, a unit with the same mind, thoughts, and all in one accord." So we see, as we're all coming into unity, we have been preparing to teach the world, and now we're actually going out and teaching them. So now back to the beginning of my speech, where we were talked about Pastor, how he planted the seed with us, and then he laid that foundation and taught us the process of converting, and now by our example we're helping in converting the world, but only under the direction of Yisrael Hawkins, the branch who is in unity with the vine, Yeshua, which leads to the sign that Pastor saw with the donkey tethered to the branch, as you see on the poster. And in, like it says in Genesis 49:10, that 11, "Tethering his donkey to the vine, tethering his donkey colt to the choicest branch." So we see all these things are tied together. As I said, it's not just a coincidence, but Yahweh is in control of it all. And another thing I looked up when we were about the grapes. Back in the day when they were harvesting grapes, they used donkeys to help them harvest the grapes. Now, in conclusion, in Revelations 10, verse 7, it says, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh Malach, when he will begin to sound, the great secret of Yah will be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets." So, in conclusion, let's make sure we have that strong foundation and we allow Pastor to continue to fine-tune us so we can come to our conversion process, that we can be the donkeys to help bring in the harvest and forever stay tethered to the choicest branch. And with this, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, you may all be seated. I hope you're enjoying the speakers as much as I am. What comes to mind when you hear the word moon? Just another light in the sky, or Yahweh's laws? Positive law number 153 says the new moons are to be observed to set Yahweh's feast. On 12/19/2013, overseer Yidro Hawkins' face was seen on the moon. I looked at the word number 1219 and Strong's, and it means to gather or harvest. The word gather means to bring together, to gain by gradual increase, to accumulate, and to prepare as oneself. Deuteronomy 31:12 says, "Gather the people together, men, women, children, and the strangers within your city, so they may listen, so they may learn to reverence Yahweh your Father by carefully observing and doing all of the words of this law." So why do we gather together? To learn Yahweh's laws. 12:19 comes from word numbers 1305, 1306, and 1210. And Strong's 1305 means sustenance. Sustenance means a means of support, nourishment, supplying or being supplied with the necessities of life, something that gives support, endurance, or strength. When I read this definition, it reminded me about how Yahweh's laws and the teachings that come forth from the house of Yahweh are our strength. Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the message, for it is the strength of Yahweh, unto life everlasting for everyone who believes." Yahweh's laws are our strength. I also looked up word number 1306, which means shine. Shine means brightness caused by the emission of light, brightness caused by the reflection of light. When I read this, it reminded me about how the moon reflects light from the sun. Next, I looked up word number 1210, which means to tie, bind, or a bond. I looked up the word bind, and it means to make a firm commitment, fasten, or strengthen. To make a firm commitment, fasten together, or strengthen. Proverbs 3:1-3 means, "My son, do not forget my law, but take my instructions to heart, for a length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Do not let mercy and truth forsake you. Tie them around your neck and write them on the tablets of your mind." So we see that the moon sets the feast and sets times for us to gather together to learn at the house of Yahweh. The moon is to remind us to keep Yahweh's 613 laws of peace. And number 6, it says Yahweh's face will shine upon you and give you peace. Overseer Yisrael Hawkins is Yahweh to us. So let's tie ourselves to the chosen branch, work together in unity, and teach others what we've learned. There's only 77 days until Yeshua's memorial, and we'll be gathered together here at Abel again. And it was an honor to speak before you today, and I'll turn it over to the next teacher.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Okay. There's something I want to show you. You've seen it before, and no, it's not the hula hoop this time. It's something better. May I please get my picture? See, you've seen it before, right? The hand of Yahweh, and you've seen how last week the speakers have put what was in there, like 613 and Pastor's face and the book and everything like that. Now, the hand of Yahweh is a nebula, and it was formed by an exploded star. So the hand of Yahweh was discovered in 1982, and that was also shown in there, and that was very seen very clearly. And Pastor, now remember how old? Remember when Pastor was born? 1934. So in 1982, Pastor was 48 years old. Now I want to look up the number 48. Now the Hebrew meaning of 48 means father of height, and it comes from number 7311. Which means to be high, to rise, and to raise. Now remember Isaiah 2:2. Here, let me just read it. It says, "It will come to pass in the last days that the mounted promotion of the house of Yahweh will be established in the chief of the nations and will be raised above all congregation, and all nations will eventually flow to it." So you see that the house of Yahweh will be promoted and will be raised above all congregation, and everyone will see the house of Yahweh. Now, the Greek meaning of 48 means to make clean, sanctify, purify self, and it comes from number 53, which means innocent, modest, perfect, pure, clean, holy as being free from defilement, and pure as being cleansed. Now, I try to see what occurred when Pastor was 48 years old. So when Pastor was 48 years old, that was when he laid the foundation of the sanctuary that is now called the press room. Now, Pastor did physically lay the foundation at TMP Lane, but he also started laying the foundation of the laws to become pure, free from defilement. And remember the Greek meaning? To be perfect, pure, clean, holy, and being free from defilement. You know, that's what we're still striving to become today, is to become perfect and pure and have the character of Yahweh. Now, Zechariah 5:10-11, and I'm going to read the true translation. It says, "Then I said to the Malach who was speaking with me, 'Where are they going with the ephah?' And he said to me, 'To build the house of Yahweh, according to the standard of perfection sent by Yahweh's laws, at Abel, in a Babylonian land, that which does not yet exist. And it will be established at that time as the established place, the habitation of Yahweh, the house of Yahweh.'" Now, the house of Yahweh is established now, and we're here. We're here in the house of Yahweh. Now, one thing when I was doing my speech, I realized that we don't know Scripture until our teacher, Yisrael Hawkins, actually teaches us and shows us. Now, if you can turn to Isaiah 49, verse 2, it's on page 561, and it says, "And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword in the shadow of his hand. He has hidden me and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver he has hidden me." Now, that nebula that was shown is the shadow of Yahweh's hand. Now, Pastor was hidden in the shadow of Yahweh's hand. And with this, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Now, today I am going to be speaking about a specific number. But before I start, I would like you to guess what that number is. Now, I'm going to give you three clues. When I'm finished with my clues, then you're going to tell me what it is. Now, some of it may be a little hard for you, but I want you to try your best. Okay? Clue number one. Yana was in the fish's belly for so many days and nights. Clue number two, the earth was separated from the waters on the blank day. And clue number three, this number means complete. So, what's the number?
Three.
Great job, give yourself a hand. Now, I would like to start off with the scripture. If you could all turn in your book of Yahweh to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1.
and it reads, "This will be the third time that I am coming to you. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established." Now, as we have heard, the moon was seen on three different nights by three different people. And I would like to remind you of their stories. So the first night it was seen by one of the workers. Now, that night was turning out to be a very problematic night. This isn't working, that isn't working, and the overseer's calling and he's saying, "Come fix this over here." And so you're asking for help and no one wants to come help. So you start to get frustrated, and finally the flashlight that they were using died. And we're talking about between 9 and 10 in the night. So normally at that time without a flashlight, it would be really hard to be able to work outside. But it was actually bright enough outside for them to see. So they looked up at the moon, which was a full moon, and there was Pastor's face smiling down at them. And then the second night, it was seen again by the same person, but this time they were actually looking for it. And then the third night, it was seen by two workers who were leaving the sound room who had just finished recording a specific song. And that song was, "Yahweh is our shepherd." And when we looked up the word shepherd in the Strong's, it was word number 7462, which added up to number 19. So there you have it, three witnesses on three separate nights. That matter is established with Yahweh. Now, praise Yahweh. Now, I would like to give you some facts about the number three. But before I do, the number three is considered a lucky number in the world. Because over the centuries, the pharaohs and the popes and the lords and the people who knew what these numbers meant, they turned it into their own deception. They pushed aside the meaning that Yahweh had for it and substituted it with their own meanings. We know that the truth is the Catholic Church cannot count to three. So that fails to remove the significance of these numbers the way Yahweh uses it. So how is the number three used in Yahweh's plan? It's amazing because the number three is used so many times. Yahweh uses it. Three, three, three. We have three forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There are three verses in the priestly blessing, and in that, the tetragrammaton, which is Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh, appears three times. Abraham was told to sacrifice Isaac after a three-day journey. Moshe was hidden by his mother for three moons. And Moshe at one time had asked Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go on a three-day journey. When Yeshua Messiah stayed behind when his parents had went, when they had come back from the feast, he was missing for 3 days. And one that you may remember, this last day's house of Yahweh has had three sanctuaries. First, the mobile sanctuary. Number two, the press room. And number three is this one that we are sitting in here today. Praise Yahweh. So we can see that the number three is used so many times by Yahweh in showing completion, complete, it's done, it's finished, over. The great deacon on Sabbath told us about the three warnings of nuclear war, September 12, 2006, June 12, 2006, and finally today at the end of this 9 months, which is three times three, as John Kerry said, it's going to be finished. We are at the end. Our redemption draws near. And remember this, praise Yahweh. Can we have the song, please?
So when these things begin, you saints at Yahweh's house, your redemption draws me.
So when we sing again,
to come to pass,
you saints at Yahweh's house, lift up your hands because you know
that your redemption draws me.
Your redemption draws me.
And with that, I will turn it over to the great head judge, Fania, for our conclusion and also to begin the adult speakers.
Just please be seated. If I have your attention, what did you compare? I asked that you were the judge of the situation to see what is taught to Yahweh's young people versus what is taught to the young people in the world. What did you think? Yahweh's people are doing what he wants us to do. Praise Yahweh. And I just meant to, just in closing our young teachers, it says, I want to read you quickly an article here, not the entire thing. It says, California lawmakers, he pulled his son from a class over the transgender law, meaning these children are going to be able to go to the bathrooms, the boys are going to be able to go, just flashed at you, so when your subconscious mind is ready for it, you will have it. The boys will be able to go to whatever bathroom they want to based on how they feel. The girls will be able to go to whatever bathroom she feels like based on how she feels. And it's causing quite a chaos. And the confusion in the world, as one of our young teachers said, I'm going to flash those at you. So when your subconscious mind, when Yahweh is ready to open up our minds, just see what we have here. These are all boys. It's within your subconscious mind. And you will need them when Great Father is ready for us to curb and put an end to the chaos that is going on in the world now. The confusion, boys. The confusion in the world. And do we expect those to be the teachers and their leaders of tomorrow? No. And also, there's the compulsory, that the children spend so many hours looking at television. In the great house of Yahweh, is this compulsory? No. Okay, so I praise Yahweh, and we want to thank our 8 teachers. They did a wonderful job, and give them the opportunity all the time. Praise Yahweh. And welcome again, now for my speech. So now you can start timing me. Okay. I'm going to talk about the earth is great, Yahweh's, and the fullness thereof. The whole world and all the people are Yahweh's, for he established it. Have you heard this before? I'm going to repeat it, and if you know it, you can think it or say it softly. The earth is great, Yahweh's, and its fullness. The whole world and all the people are Yahweh's. Children, are you here? Do you believe this? Yes, children, turn with me to Genesis 1:1. Now, children, I want to enforce something in our children's mind this morning. Because I'm going to talk to us about evolution. This word, it's a big word, children. You can write it down. We're going to talk about this. I'll show it to you in a little bit again. Let's read Genesis 1:1. Children, do you have it? I would like you to read with me. In the beginning, Yahweh created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, Yahweh created the heavens and the earth. Who created the heavens and the earth, children? Are you sure about that? Nice. Where are the nice pictures we have somewhere here? Can we show it to the children, please? You see the name on top of this chart right there? Whose name is that? Very nice. Now, do you see some of the nice things that Yahweh created for us? Anything there you like? Yes. What do you see? Do you see the berries over there? And do you see somebody looking at some clouds? What's the name of the person who's looking at those clouds? Great job. Now, do you believe Yahweh created him, mankind, and the clouds? Absolutely. Do you think Yahweh created the part of the universe you can see, a big planet? Absolutely. And that nice bird. You sure? And what's that nice one in the middle over there? The volcano? Things occurring inside the earth, as our greatest teacher told us. Things inside the earth, on the earth, around the earth that Yahweh created. And of course, the billy goat. Now, we have learned from the great house of Yahweh, there are two groups of people. Those who believe and those who do not believe. We, the great house of Yahweh, we are the believers. We believe, praise Yahweh, we believe that Yahweh is the creator, but the unbelievers do not believe that. I'm going to read you something here, and I want you to compare it. Genesis says, in the beginning, children, just for you before I talk about the evolution for the adults, in the beginning, Yahweh created. I'm reading for you from one of the books of the unbelievers. It says, in the beginning, same thing like our great book of Yahweh, in the beginning, there was a ball. Smaller than an atom. It grew as big as a football. The Big Bang was when it suddenly began to swell explosively. And I was so tickled when one of our young teachers said the Big Bang, like she knew I was going to read that. So that's what they believe. But my great sisters, do you compare what we have here? The best that they could give us is there was a ball, and it grew, and there was a Big Bang. And that's where everything came from. Now, turn with me really quickly then, with that in mind, to Jeremiah. And let's look at verse 27. Jeremiah 32:27. Behold, I am Yahweh, the creator of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for Yahweh to do? Are you sure? Behold, I am Yahweh, the creator of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Ask Yahweh, our Father, the supreme head of all, who creates everything for mankind's use? Absolutely not. And that's why Yahweh went ahead and surprised the unbelievers with the new planet. Do you know what they said? They said, excuse the reading, I'm going to read it verbatim so you understand. They've got a big ball, and then here's a whole new planet. How the heck did this exoplanet get where it is? They can't answer. They don't have answers to their questions. exoplanet, meaning outside of our own solar system. It's outside of the solar system. And one says, it's unlike anything in our own solar system. They've never seen anything like that before. Can they answer their questions? No. And that's what they teach to their young people. Not in the great house of Yahweh. And somebody calls it an alien planet. And another group say, it challenges everything that they now know about planets. So that's to reinforce to us, sisters, that Yahweh is our Father, He's the Creator, and that's where we want to go. And this is why my subject on evolution, we were reading our microbiology books, and one of the young teachers said to me, I am uncomfortable reading about the evolution. So I said, oh. So I kept thinking, why? What about the evolution? And it kept flashing at me. Then I said, no, actually, at the House of Yahweh, we do like the evolution. When we overcome the daily grinds and the tests and the trials and the stepping on each other's toes. I'll stop right there and let me tell the children. Evolution, they tell us, means to change, to become, to grow. The unbelievers, they say that mankind, he wasn't quite man yet. He was maybe a microorganism, maybe a particle, maybe an atom. And he evolved into a tadpole, a frog, a bird, a tree, a butterfly, I don't know. Then a horse, a donkey, or something. And then he became a man. That's evolution to them. Mankind evolved. So let's jump back now into evolution. House of Yahweh. The daily grinds. The stepping on each other's toes. The sitting in your closet. How many hours you spent in that closet last week? Crying out to Yahweh. Your whole day you spent. Crying out to Yahweh. Calling your sister on the phone. Please forgive me every night. The tests. The trials. The putting on the attributes of Great Father Yahweh. The merciful, the long-passionate, the compassionate, the long-suffering, the cleanses, the burning oil on your backs. And the self-control, the taming of the tongue, not to snap at your sister and tell her just what you think she is. When we have overcome all of those things, that's when we will evolve into being like Yahweh. This is the true definition of evolution. I think the Masons made a mistake that time. They maybe thought it was something physical, and they went doing all those testing. But it's a spiritual evolution. It's becoming like Great Father Yahweh through the cleansing and the test and the overcoming process. We will become like Yahweh, and that is what we should aim for, to become like our Father. Praise Yahweh, who we know is the creator of all mankind, and all the signs and the wonders, he said. We believe those things, and we have to hope in those things. And just before we sing our lovely song, sisters, we need to put our feet down to show Yahweh that we believe in him. And we cannot accommodate the ideas of the Big Bang or the way the world teaches the evolution. We will want to overcome. Please, that is the aim in the Great House of Yahweh. We want to evolve and become like Father Yahweh. And did you know there was a song in the Great House of Yahweh that teaches evolution, Yahweh's way, to become like Yahweh? Did you know that? Yes? Could we have the song, please?
I am Yahweh, Yahweh, showing loving kindness.
I am Yahweh,
Yahweh, judging righteously.
I am Yahweh,
Yahweh, my Lord's delight.
I am Yahweh,
behold Yahweh.
So do you see evolution Yahweh's way? Becoming just like Yahweh. And as we heard the first voice singing, I am Yahweh, meaning that he has become like Yahweh. So now the onus is on us now, sisters, to push for that goal, because we will become like Yahweh. We will evolve into being like our Father, the great creator of all. Praise Yahweh. And with that, I will turn over to the next speaker, Grace Hedgerd Simonia.
Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. And if you can bear with me for 2 minutes, I would like to introduce future priestess Tazaria for a small information.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Last Shabbat, I was blessed to speak in the children's speech class. I was on speech number 7, a complete speech, and my title was Signs from Heaven. I spoke on 4 signs as seen on the chart. But today I would like to share with you the signs we received from Yahweh on December 17, 18, and 19. Pastor Faith in the Moon. I refer it to as Man and the Moon. For 3 nights, Yahweh the Creator and Heavenly Father saw it fit to put his last day's witness face in the moon. This is what the moon looks like. This is what the moon looks like. Everyone, wave the pastor. Great job. But why the moon? The scripture says to search it out. So I searched the book of Yahweh to find out the importance of the moon. And it said, to set the feast days, of course. And when we keep the appointment with Yahweh, we obtain the mark of Yahweh, also the God from the night and the light. Then I asked my best friend, Google, why is the moon important? And its reply was, the moon is important to the earth because without it, life as we know it it will be very, very different. The moon controls the Earth's tide. The Earth moon is also important because it keeps the Earth in orbit. The moon keeps the Earth from wobbling. It is the brightest object in the sky after the sun. Without the moon, night would be much, much darker than we are used to. The moon dictates the length of the day. A day on Earth would be much, much shorter, only about 6 to 8 hours. The moon also controls the rhythm of the season. There be no such thing as equinox on Earth. As we can see, Yahweh being all natural, certainly will use them. And I'd like to turn off the heads of Simonia.
Praise Yahweh, you may be seated. Okay. Great job, Tazaria. Okay, now I would like to share with you an experience I went through the last time I was up here, about 2 weeks ago. I had so many books and so many charts and everything. As usual, I almost toppled over the podium, right? So, who remembers a couple years ago when Overseer said, "Men, we need a bigger podium." Right? A podium with wings. Told up his heavy book of Yahweh. So, Overseer, this is for you. My work order. The woman's side need a bigger podium for klutzy people like me. With wings. Okay, 19. Get it? 19. Okay, that was my okie joke for the day. Continuing along with the theme of the moon. How many of us have noticed the House of Yahweh calendar for the year 2014? Perfect, right? Great job. A lot of effort, loyalty, and dedication went into this. It was not just put together, it was thought about. Okay, if we flip to the month of the fourth Roman month, April 2014, you will notice a few things about it, right? First, you have the sighting of, first we have the moon to mark the feast, right? And then on the 29th of this same exact month, on the second new moon, we have a solar eclipse tonight. Can I have my first slide, please? Right, that is a solar eclipse. A solar eclipse occurs when the sun, the moon, and the earth align together with the moon in the center. This can only occur when there is a new moon. Also, going back to the calendar, in that same third month of 2014, we have a lunar eclipse. Can I have my second slide, please? Perfect. The lunar eclipse occurs when the sun, the earth, and the moon align together. And the earth, this time, is in between the moon and the sun. It is in the center. A lunar eclipse occurs when the moon passes directly behind the earth into its shadow. This occurs when, as I said before, the sun, the earth, and the moon are aligned exactly or very close. Also, a lunar eclipse only occurs when there's a full moon. lunar eclipse only occurs, it takes a few hours to go through the process, unlike a solar eclipse that only lasts a few minutes. Now something even more interesting. Flip forward in the same calendar to the 10th Roman month in October 2014. If you notice, right before the feast starts, we have a lunar eclipse also on that same month in the same year. In the house of Yahweh, if you remember, we set the feast when we sight the moon. We do not use traditions like the other religions. We must sight the moon. So therefore, that day can either roll up in front or it could roll behind. So you could fall on the high day also. Believe it or not, there's a term for this. You ready to hear it? Okay. It is called a blood moon. A blood moon or a tetrad. When four lunar eclipses goes back to back to back without any partial lunar eclipse in between. Four consecutives. Can I have my third slide, please? Yes. The blood moons or tetrad. It is so rare to have this. It occurred only three times in the last 500 years. If you notice the date, 1493 to 1494, then 1949 to 1950, 1967 to 1968. So these four moons fell on the first high day of the feast. So you had Passover, Tabernacles 1 year, Passover, Tabernacles the next year. Four lunar eclipses on the high days of the feast. If you notice the dates on these blood moons, the dates always fall when something occurs. So for the first one that occurred in 1493, it reminds me of when Christopher Columbus rediscovered America. Rediscovered. He did not discover America. The Americas. Okay? So there we have the chief of all nations being established in these last days for us to come to the place where we are told to come to. Then in 1949 to 1950, what occurred there? Anyone? That was a few years after the Holocaust. You had World War II. The attempts to wipe out the last days witnesses, we have been taught, right? Right. And then moving on, 1967 to 1968. What occurred there? Anybody remember? Right. Pastor moved to Abilene. The house of Yahweh being introduced to the Abilene area. That is what occurred in those days. So now, since Overseer was born in 1934 to present, so far he has seen two blood moons or tetrads, all falling on high days of the feast, marking the feast two times. How awesome is that? What is the likelihood of that occurring? Right? Can I please have my next slide? So my question now is, when is the next blood moon? Any guesses? Yes, 2014. Can I have my next slide, please? The next four blood moons are in 2014 and 2015. So, in Overseer's lifetime, so far, in the coming years, two coming years, he will witness three blood moons in his one lifetime. And we all know what three represents. It represents completeness, coming to perfection. It's a whole number. We have heard it over and over again, the meaning of it, the importance of the number three. This is very rare and amazing to occur. Remember, Yahweh uses the signs to communicate with us, to let us know that he is near, that we are coming to perfection. So bear these things in mind, the blood moon or the tetrad, the importance of these moons. as we have heard over the couple of months. In closing, I would like to send a special message to all the women who are listening to us via the internet. Women, all women, listen to my voice. You have never ever experienced a feast like this. The joy that you will feel at this upcoming feast. Total peace. The feast for this year, of this upcoming, is in the fourth Roman month. It begins, first we have, on the 13th at sunset, we have Yeshua Memorial. Then we have the first high day on the 15th. And then it ends on the 21st. Come, keep the feast with us. Obtain the mark of Yahweh. Not the mark of the beast, of the popes, no. Keep the feast where Yahweh has commanded us to keep, in the established place, as Isaiah 2:2 says, in the established place, in the chief of all nations. So with this, I would like to turn it over to the next teacher.
Shalom, you may all be seated. I think Hedger Samuel should have left those work orders there. A longer reminder. But I tried to travel light today. If I can have picture number one. All right. So our head judge spoke about the solar and lunar eclipse, and she did an awesome job in that. And you're going to pretty much hear the same thing again. Let me just quickly get my notes here. That's what I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to talk about the audio. If you didn't hear it clearly, this is an audio from NASA. And we all know that NASA is an incredible, intelligent agency. Very incredible. And what they did, I don't know if you heard that quote, let me just play that last part again. Houston, got a problem. Got that? Everybody remember that? 1969, when the first man landed on the moon. Yes, 1969. But did you know that Yahweh is actually the one that put man on the moon? Okay, remember that. Now, NASA is a very intelligent agency, as I said. But Yahweh is the one that allowed NASA to do this. Okay? And man who landed on the moon, eventually took off, right? You can't stay on the moon. It's not habitable. But Yahweh can put a man on the moon, the image of Israel Hawkins, and it can stay. And it could come again. And it could come again. I want to give a little history about NASA, because I hate history. But only House of Yahweh has changed me. And I love history now, because I see how it ties into everything of the House of Yahweh. Okay? So don't forget what Pastor says, okay? You have to obtain knowledge. You have to study it. You have to remember. But something interesting about NASA, and don't forget what the Kahan said, that NASA comes from number 7613 and 5375. Now, NASA was established in 1958, and this was after Pastor was born. However, NASA originally came from an agency called NACA. Let me say that again. NACA, which was established in 1915, before Pastor was born. So you're thinking, well, there was an increase in knowledge before Pastor was born. Everybody making this big deal about 1934. Well, yeah, okay. But let me tell you something here, okay? And I'll get to it. But let me first talk about NACA. NACA was used solely for the purpose of war, military. They wanted a group of intelligent men to come together and think things through and make the airplanes faster and make it more efficient. This is their mindset. This is what they were looking for. Well, they did. They made the first airplane that broke the sound barrier. If you look on books, yes, I'm a Google generation too. And you go to booksgoogle.com, and the book called From Engineering Science to Big Science, and it was published by NASA, they wrote a history about NACA. And they say here, and they quoted Richard K. Smith. Richard K. Smith, he wrote a lot about these technologies and everything that was going on with NASA. And they quoted him, they said, "No institution," referring to NACA, "in the world contributed more to the definition of the modern airplane than the NACA." So yes, we know they created the airplanes. Y'all hear it now, right? Thanks to them. But in 1934, there was another work occurring outside of the NACA from one man. In 1934, this man named Eugene Singer, he had this crazy thesis that, maybe we can do rocket lift flight. Maybe we could do such a thing like that. Which now today, what are they doing in NASA? Rockets, right? Space shuttles. But in 1934, this idea popped into this man's mind. He didn't get it published until 1935, but it was in the works. He already laid his foundations in 1934. Well, that just proves to you that when Pastor was born, it was the new generation. Now NASA had said in the audio clip I gave you, when the man landed on the moon, they said, "That's one small step for a man and a giant leap for mankind." That's because they doubt the great power of Yahweh. Man can only take a little step, onto the moon. But it's a big increase of knowledge for them because they made it. Mission Impossible was possible. Right? But not Yahweh. Yahweh put man on the moon. And when we say that Yahweh put man, referring to Pastor Sher Hawkins, on the moon, think of the word put. If you look in the American Heritage Dictionary, it says, to place in a specified position, to set a position. Now, does Pastor have a position? Well, Yahweh likes this word put. Let's look, and 6,000 years ago, he used it. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 8, we have the first example here. He says, Yahweh, one of the very first examples, Yahweh planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man. This is Genesis chapter 2, verses 8. He put the man whom he had formed. And we all know he placed Adam there. He put Adam there for a job to guard and keep. Now we hear all the analogies about the moon and what it represents and the authority and the power. It's awesome. Why didn't Yahweh put Pastor's image on another thing? He put it on the moon for the significant meaning that Pastor has the position to be like the moon. Let's go to 2 Kefa chapter 1. 2 Kefa chapter 1. That's on page 961. 2 Kefa chapter 1, verse 19. So think about Pastor on the moon, what this represents. And let's read this, okay? We also have the prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place. We're very familiar with that publication, the prophetic word. It's a light. Now, I don't know about you, but I cannot even write a paragraph right away. I mean, you got to think things through before you write it. And passage just zips right through how many pages of prophetic words, right? He is the only one who can do this. Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Verses 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy did not come in former times by the will of man. No, man can't do anything. But holy men of Yahweh spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, Yahweh. Yahweh, the one who put Israel Hawkins' image on the moon. Let's go to Isaiah 60. Isaiah chapter 60, this is on page 569. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 5. Again, think about Pastor's image on the moon, what he represents, his position. Why was he put on the moon? Arise, shine, wake up, and be aware, for your light has come, and the glory of Yahweh is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness will cover the people. Like what? Night? But Yahweh will rise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles, nations, right? We know as nations, heathens, will come to your light. This is the only light in the world. Remember that, Israel Hawkins. And kings to the brightness of your rising, lift up your eyes around you and see. They will all gather together. They will come to you. Your sons will come from afar, and your daughters will be nursed at your side. Then you will see and shine forth. Be joyous, and your heart will swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea will be converted to you. The forces of the Gentiles, nations, heathens will come to you. How true is that? It's very, very true. Very, very true. Now, the Kahan last week, he made the joke about Houston, we got a problem. But the history behind this is that they had a mission to go up there again to the moon, and they couldn't make it because of lack of oxygen. Something burst, something wasn't functioning right, and the oxygen was going down. So Houston, we got a problem, right? But with us here in the last days, we have no problems. We don't. We will never lack oxygen to get to the moon and back. We will never lack a way to get to where we need to go with Yahweh's laws, because we have that light. We have that opening to us. And I want y'all to remember that without Pastor, there is nothing that we can look forward to in this world. And remember that his job is to continually teach us and bring us forth as gold. And only he has that job because Yahweh put him there. No one else put him there. Yahweh didn't put no one else there. Yahweh put him there on the moon for a reason. For a reason. And many, one day...
Houston. We have the solution.
Okay, we had a problem here.
Okay. One day, Houston, we will realize that truly is Yahweh with Yahshua and Israel Hawkins that have the solution. Now, I'd like to turn it over to one of our undercover NASA technician here who helps us greatly with our technical things, Connor Shishana.
Okay, we have a quick second here. While you're standing there, I want you to just stretch. Stretch out your arms, stand on your toes, stretch. And while you're doing that, I want you to think on this. That is what you've just stretched with. Yahweh has given you control over that and only that. From the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, and from fingertip to fingertip. You may be seated. Shalom, everybody. I'm going to be continuing on. And we're going to give you one more quick exercise. I want everybody to close your eyes. Just close your eyes and sit there. And look at your eyelids. And you'll see all these little specks on your eyelids. They're different colors, yellow, blue, and green. Okay? Now open your eyes. And it seems like the specks have gone away, right? But really, they're there. I imagine that as being the microbes that Yahweh created. Those are the bigger microbes that you can see with your, you know, when you close your eyes. We have tinier ones than that. And what we're going to continue on with is Yahweh's creation and the power of unity and the unity with the microbes. And if you could show slide one, please. Okay, now, in the beginning, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, Yahweh created the heavens and the earth. And if you go to the real cause of global warming, and on page 25, it talks about Genesis 1:6-8. And Yahweh said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let there be a separation between waters from the waters." So Yahweh made the firmament and separated the water under the firmament from the water above it, and it was so. And Yahweh called the firmament heaven, and the evening and then the second and the morning were the second day. Now this picture is a picture of the firmament. And as you can see, at the bottom is the earth, and then there's different levels of the firmament that shows that you have the troposphere, the ionosphere, and several other layers of the firmament. Now, this is what Yahweh created. Now, he created this. Well, one of the speakers earlier talked about evolution, and there was a ball, and it exploded. Well, Yahweh used the microbes to create this firmament, to create this heaven, to create this earth. That is how the earth was created. Yahweh created the microorganisms, and he told them their jobs to do. And scientists are starting to realize this, that it is the microbes that have caused the creation of the firmament. And some of the headlines are evidence for the first production of oxygen on Earth. Oxygen was produced by cyanobacteria. Now we go back to Genesis, and we go to Genesis 1:3. And Yahweh said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And Yahweh saw the light, and that it was beneficial. And Yahweh divided between the light and between the darkness. Now Yahweh saw the light and said it was beneficial. The bacteria that create oxygen can only do it with light through photosynthesis. So the light was beneficial. The light allowed the bacteria and the microbes to create the oxygen in order to create the atmosphere that we have in the world today. And if I could have slide number 2, please. Now, this is an artist rendition, and I always think when they say artist renditions, well, this is Yahweh waking up the microbes in this artist's mind and saying, okay, I want you to draw this picture so that it can portray the creation of Yahweh. And this is what the artist drew to portray the creation of Yahweh. This is the earth, and the earth has the waters with the land, and then there's the waters in the air, and then there's the jet currents. And this is what's going on in the firmament every single second of every single day. The currents of the air and the currents of the water are working from the bacteria, from the microorganisms that Yahweh created, in order to sustain and maintain life. Now, we have to keep this in mind. It's the microorganisms that Yahweh created that is keeping us alive at this time. If I could have slide number 3, please. Okay, now, when we continue on in the real cause of global warming, Pastor goes on to explain that Yahweh created a protection for this world. Because where we're placed at in our solar system, we are protected by the planets, but we get our energy from the sun. But this energy is so intense that it would burn this planet up if there was not an added level of protection. This picture is a rendition of the protection that Yahweh has created for us. And he says he has created a protection in the heavens, in the firmament for us. And this is part of the magnetosphere. This is the magnetic fields that Yahweh created around the worlds to protect us from the energy of the sun. If I could have the next slide, please. Okay. Now, this is a full rendition of the magnetic field. The inner field is the plasmasphere. That's the plasma. That's what helps to keep the microorganisms together to keep us safe. The outer band of the magnetic field is what protects us from the direct solar wind from the sun. The solar wind, the energy from the sun comes towards the earth. It hits the magnetic field. You'll see at the beginning, at the front. It bows inward. And then the wind goes around the earth. The majority of the energy goes around the earth. The only place that the sun's energy can enter the earth is at the North Pole and the South Pole. Everything else is deflected away. This is the protection that Yahweh created for us to be able to live on the outside of the planet. We need to have the sun, we need to have the energy, we need to have the microbes, but we also need to have this protection. And this Yahweh created with the microbes. Everything that we've shown you is being done by the microorganisms. They are in unity with Yahweh as he created them. Now, we would not be able to survive without the energy from the sun. Now, if I could have my next slide, please. Now, we have the microorganisms in the firmament, but we also have the microorganisms in the plants and in the soil. And the overseer has brought out that the plants will send out a distress signal and say, I need help, I need water, I need help because there's something wrong with my fruit, there's something wrong going on here, I'm being attacked. So the plants will send out a signal to the microorganisms in the air and in the soil. Now, what's really, really interesting, Yahweh knew this was going to take place. So Yahweh allows these microorganisms in the soil and in the air to communicate with these plants, these microorganisms that's on the plants. And they can actually communicate with each other, and these soil microorganisms can send a defense system to the plant with the distress that is going on. And what they do is, if there's a disease that's attacking the leaf of the plant will send out a signal. The soil microorganisms will get the signal, and they will send a defense system up through the root system to seal the damage in the leaves of the plant. Another plant would send out a signal saying that they're being attacked by another type of virus, another type of disease. And this signal would be sent to the soil microorganisms. And these soil microorganisms will send a different set of defense organisms where they would come through the roots of the plants surrounding the plant that's being attacked and will protect the plants from the disease that is attacking the plant that sent out the distress signal. And these are the microorganisms that are working in unity with Yahweh. Yahweh created this from the very beginning. There was no Big Bang. There was no supposed theory. They think that it's going to occur this. They hypothesize that it's going to do this. They have a theory that it works this way. No, Yahweh said, I have a plan. I'm going to create the microorganisms that are going to do their jobs And in the process of doing their jobs, the earth is going to be created. Not only the earth itself, the land, the water, the atmosphere, the firmament, and the heavens. This is Yahweh's plan. This is the power of unity that Yahweh promises us. Now, if I could just give me 1 second here while I find my paper. Now, we've been talking about the signs in heaven. And I want to paint a picture for you. So what I'd like, you know how we have meetings, the Kohanas, we have the meetings where we'll go to the meetings and we'll be given our instructions. Or we'll be in our work areas and the supervisor will call a meeting and give instructions, say, okay, well, we need to do this at this time to prepare for the feast. So you do this and I'll do this and we'll make sure that we're ready for the feast that's coming. Well, I see Yahweh and Yeshua doing the same thing. You know, Yeshua proved himself worthy. He is in unity, not only with Yahweh, but also with the microbes. And I can see them talking and discussing the prophecies that are coming to come to pass. And, you know, the joy that Yahweh sees is the establishment of the house has taken place. The calling of the saints, so will we come? That's another thing. I believe the microorganisms were woken up by Yahweh that way and said, okay, it's time to come to the house of Yahweh. There's no other way the microorganisms would be satisfied unless we came and learned the truth. So we have these microorganisms in us, and I can see Yahweh and Yeshua discussing the plans, the prophecies that are taking place. And I can see Yeshua say to Yahweh, well, Yahweh, you know, it's time. You said there's going to be signs from heaven. There's going to be in the prophecies that's going to show that your work is continuing as planned. And I can see Yahweh say, okay, Yeshua, go for it. So he goes, okay. And then he goes out and he goes, okay, microorganisms, I'm going to call you. He set out a call. And all the microorganisms woke up and say, oh, right, it's time. We can do this, okay? And they gather all together and they're saying, hey, Yeshua, is this the way we're supposed to do it? Hey, Yeshua, is this what we're supposed to be doing? Is this the way it's supposed to look? Is this the time that it's supposed to be? And with the humility of Yeshua, he says, don't do it for me. If I could have the next slide, please. Do it for Yisrael. And on August 25th, the microorganisms came together and they're all saying, ah, Yisrael, you got to see this, you got to see this, you got to see this. And he did. And they did it because Yeshua said, do it for Yisrael. That is being in unity with the microorganisms. That is what we can prove ourselves worthy of doing. And Yahweh has given us the opportunity with the organisms that are in our bodies at this time. Yahweh created the heavens and the earth. And in 7 days, on the seventh day, Genesis 2, he says, on the seventh day, he says, and on the seventh day, Yahweh ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. If I could have the next slide, please. This is the work that Yahweh completed. This is the power of the unity of Yahweh and the unity with the microorganisms and the unity of Yeshua. Now, there's also another force that's out there. Satan is out there. She has lost her ability to create anything. But she hasn't lost her ability to inspire others to take what Yahweh has created and destroy it one by one. If I could have the next slide, please. This is the choice that you have if you decide to reject Yahweh's laws, reject Yahweh's plan. And there's one more article I want to read to you. And this is the continuation. I'll have to do it by memory. They have actually found out, Sue, the gonorrhea, you've heard. Gonorrhea, it's on that thing. Gonorrhea is a multi-drug-resistant superbug at this time. They have maybe one or two drugs that can stop it. They've just found out that the STD, gonorrhea, has acquired a DNA from the human body. Think carefully. Do you want to choose Yahweh? Or you want to choose the last slide? And with that, I'll turn it over to our next speaker.
Shalom. You may be seated. I have great news. I am the last speaker today. Praise Yahweh. I wanted to start right into it. Shabbat Shalom, anyway. I want to make sure I say Shabbat Shalom, saints of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. And I wanted to make sure I share with you something right now. And I'm going to ask you to give me the answer before I go on. What month does Yahweh say that the gods descend upon the earth?
December.
And what number is that month? 12. Okay, so I'm going to share with you, you'll see on the screen right now, Number in Scripture by E.W. Bullinger, The Descending of the Gods. I always wondered, and you probably did too, why does Satan hate December so much that she would want to just flood the earth with all these gods? Well, 12, according to Bullinger, 12 is a perfect number signifying perfection of government. That's what we are becoming right now in this time period, a perfected government. Can you see why she hates it? Can you see why she wants to send these armies of gods down? So signifying a perfect number, signifying perfection of government or governmental perfection, it is found as a multiple in all that has to do with rule. And remember, Pastor said that word rule really means to govern, to serve, right? Not to rule like that. 12 is the product of 3. The perfectly divine, and I'm reading exactly what he has here. The perfectly divine and heavenly number. And 4, the earthly, the number of what is material and organic. There were 12 patriarchs from Seth to Noah and his family, and 12 from Shem to Jacob. The 12 sons of Israel, though actually 13 in number, never are more than 12 names listed in any one list. And I know that that's one thing that we've always noticed. Why is this one missing from this list and this one missing from that list? There's always only 12. There's that 12 again. The Temple of Solomon has the number 12 as a predominating factor. There were 12 apostles, 12 foundations in the heavenly Jerusalem, 12 gates, 12 pearls, 12 malachim. Remember when Yeshua said, I could call down 12 legions of malachim. The measurement of the new Jerusalem will be 12,000 furlongs square, while the wall will be 144, which is 12 by 12 for our mathematicians here. Revelation 21, 16 and 17 for your notes. The number of sealed in Revelation 7, 4 will be 144,000. How many from each tribe? 12,000. There's that 12 again. The 12 tribes. And then remember how many stones were in that high priest's breastplate? 12. How old was Yahshua when he made his first public appearance? 12. There you go. There's that 12 again. So I want you to remember that Satan hates that number 12. Yahweh uses that number. That number means that perfect government that we're becoming. We're becoming that perfect government through our overseer, Israel Hawkins, right? Okay, now I want to call forward our next slide here, which is about the earth. And I want to show you this because the sun is what gives the moon light. The moon does not have, it's not its own light source. It is a reflection of the sun's light, right? I want you to remember that. It's very important. The moon is not a light on its own, but it gives light. Now, my next slide here, I want you to notice that Yahweh gives Yahshua the ability to reflect. Remember Yahshua? Now, just look at this slide and remember. And then it comes to Yisrael. And remember that Moloch that we talked about last week that actually comes down, his authority given to him by Yahshua, by Yahweh, to enlighten the earth? Now, I'm going to put Hebrews up on the screen right now. I want you to really watch this. It says in Hebrews 1, 1 through 3, which is on page 943 in your book of Yahweh. It says, Yahweh, who at various times and in different ways spoke in times past to our fathers through the prophets. Okay? He has in these last days, which is right now, spoken to us through his son. Remember, go back to that slide prior, please. Spoke to us through his son. Now that's where Yisrael's getting his instruction. Remember, whom he has appointed heir of all things. You can go back to Hebrews. For whom he also made the world. Now the world wasn't only just made for Yahshua, but he's willing to share that. Yahweh said he's going to give all these things over to the great government of Yahweh that's being formed in this time period, which consists of righteous men, which are on the other side of the wall, and righteous women that are on this side of the wall. Right? We're coming to that righteousness. Verse 3. This is speaking of Yahshua here, who being the reflection, remember, Yahshua is reflecting, he's that reflection, who being the reflection of the perfection of Yahweh. So who's that perfect reflection of Yahweh? Yahshua. And the representation of Yahweh's plan by upholding all things concerning that which was spoken by Yahweh through the law and prophets. When he had purged sins, he sat down on the right hand of Yahweh on high. Yahshua is actually sitting there and he's still helping Pastor. Pastor's helping us to overcome. Do you see how this light trickles out? Now, in Hebrews 7, verse 26, it says, for such a high priest is fitting for us. Such a high priest, you know, this is Yahshua, this reflection of Yahweh. It's fitting for us who, let's talk about Yahshua's character traits here. He's, read it with me, holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from what? So if we're continually sinning, are we even in unity with Yahshua? No way. No way. And it says, and he's made what? Higher than the heavens. You know, that moon, that Yahweh, he allowed us to see our overseer's face on that moon. And I want you to really realize that Yahshua's position is higher than those heavens. And that the significance of seeing Pastor's face on that moon, to me, showed that Pastor, he's accomplished getting that close to Yahshua, that Yahshua would actually say, look, we're going to put Pastor's face there. Because remember, those microorganisms, they submit to Yahshua's words. They trust him. They obey him. And Yahshua said, look, let's give our people something to really talk about. Let's give them something to talk about. We're going to put Israel Hawkins' face on that moon. And that moon, which represents enlightening the whole earth, right? Now, I want you to, I've got a definition for mirror. And I really didn't know too much about mirrors. But did you know that mirrors are actually transparent? It's transparent glass. And that there's a reflective coating on it that makes it shine back at you? I didn't know that. My head gave me a mirror 101 class. Okay? I just thought, well, I guess I just really never thought about how it did that. Okay. That mirror is actually transparent, but it reflects. Remember, Yahshua is the reflection of Yahweh's perfection. I want you to keep that in mind. The word mirror, and this is from Webster's Second New Riverside Dictionary, and it says, the meaning is a surface able to reflect enough undiffused light to form a virtual image. Remember that light. What is the light? The laws. Excellent. So, now, the definition number two, I thought this was so awesome. Something that faithfully reflects or gives a true picture of something else. Remember when we talked about who is our faithful witness in these last days? Something that faithfully reflects. Pastor faithfully reflects Yahshua and Yahweh. So how could he not put Pastor's face in the moon? Really, I mean, think about it. Where else could he put it? The third definition I love. Something worthy of imitation. Now, You know, everybody's seen a mirror before, right? Some people like to stop and look at them. Others try to avoid them at all costs. Wherever you fall in line there, I want you to just remember this mirror and that reflection. I want to read Jacob 1, verses 22 through 25. And it's found on page 953. But be doers of the word. Doers, that's an action word. That means doing something, right? Be doers of the word and not hearers only. So, you know, if we come to services and we say, oh, that was a really great sermon. Didn't apply to me, but I sure hope Susie was paying attention. No, that's not being a doer of the word. Being a doer means actually, remember what our first speaker said, evolving spiritually, taking that sermon. There's one woman I know. I just love her. Anytime a sermon's given, she says, was that sermon about me? And it doesn't matter what it is. It could be about whatever it is. And I always say yes. Because any sermon that's given is about us. Right? It's either about something that we need to overcome, something that we are striving to overcome, something that we desire to overcome, but it's always maybe something that we've even overcome. But yes, every sermon by every great mighty priest that comes up and stands before us on the Sabbath day is about us and us alone. Okay? So we should never try to reflect that sermon. That's not the proper way to use that reflection. I hope someone else was paying attention. It's for us. Now, in verse 23 of Jacob 1, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he or she is like a man or woman looking at their reflection, you know, wow, that sermon, that was a really about gossip and everything. Wow. Yeah, you know, I did that once. And then you walk away and you forget that you did it. What does it say? He forgets what he or she looks like. But he or she looks into the perfect law of liberty, which is Yahweh's laws. We look into that perfect law of liberty and we persevere. That means we continue to overcome. We continue to evolve spiritually. We continue to take these lessons that our priests give us, that the overseer gives us, and we build them so that we can have these righteous character blocks in our life, building us into the perfect image of Yahweh, right? That's where we're going. We want to be that perfect reflection, right? So we look into that perfect law of liberty and we persevere. We continue persistently in it. If we do this, the scripture says, he or she is not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the law, the work. This man or woman will be blessed in his or her performance of the law. It's performing, it's doing, it's an action word. It's not something that we're just listening to, hearing, and judging others on their performance of. It's something that's an individual thing that occurs in our own lives. That only, you know, when we go home at night, people don't follow us. They don't follow us and they don't have binoculars. They're not watching what we're doing behind closed doors, like Pastor says. That's between us and our Father. That's where we go into our closet and we cry out to Yahweh because we know our own imperfections, right? So, back to this mirror. Remember, the reflection of Yahweh's perfection, that's Yahshua. Pastor, Yahweh allowed his face to be put on the moon, showing us that he's close to that perfection right there. So, when we're looking in this mirror, this is what I hope we see looking back at us. Right there. This is our reflection of Great Father Yahweh's perfection, the perfect image of Yahweh's plan. Remember that song that we sang? He upholds all things that were spoken by Yahweh through the law and prophets. Sisters, we are so close to the point, like our sister said, when our redemption is drawing really near. So let's just make sure, you know, and I'm not saying you have to have a beard, sisters. But this should be what's looking back at you, character-wise, when we're looking and taking a look at ourselves in that great mirror. It's been an awesome opportunity for us to be able to come before you this great Sabbath day. And at this time, I'd like to turn it back over to the great priests in the house of Yahweh. Yahweh bless you.